Hey, what an amazing time of worship and an amazing time of prayer. And I love prayer. I love just speaking my mind to the Lord, not because he doesn't know what's going on in my head. It's not like I'm informing God and I'm giving him an update on the things he doesn't know. God is, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, which means he's all powerful. He's above time. He sits above the story. We are in the story. And so he knows what's going on in our life. But when we have a time of worship like that, and we pray, we're giving God access to our life. We're giving God access to our story. And we're involving him in the detail of our life. And so I love worship. One, it's a time of just of worshiping God, of singing our praises. But it's also a time of prayer where we're saying, God, I'm actually giving you access to the things in my life that are weighing me down or the things that I'm excited about. And Lord, I'm involving you in this story because I want to build my life around you and I don't want to just tag you on to the story that I'm building. Amen? Good. I'm not actually preaching on that this morning, but it was just something on my heart during worship. And hey, welcome to church. Welcome for coming out in the snow. That was a week. That was a week of snow. I was not expecting that. I also don't know what inches are. So when they say 7 inches, I'm like, it's not centimeters. It's not millimeters. I don't know what that's going to be. But my body is hurting this morning. I think that was my first proper snow shovel. That was my first proper snow shovel. And I want to give a shout out to my wife because on Friday night, I don't know what time it was, 8 in the evening, 9 in the evening. We came by to check on the church. Roads were clearing up. Needed to check on the water pipes and all of that. And next minute, Sav's got a shovel and she is shoveling the snow by the road here. And she's one person. It's a big area. And Sav was saying, people need to know the church is open. People need to know the church is open. We got to start shoveling. And then, hey, there's an incredible couple sitting at the back there, Johan and Sadie and Goldie. Can we show, there's a picture, sorry, it's somewhere in my slideshow at the end. There's a picture of a person pressure hosing. Nope, not there. Okay, well, in your mind, imagine someone arriving at church yesterday with a huge rig, pressure hose. Is that the word? Pressure washer. There we go. Thank you. And Johan and Sadie and little Goldie came and they saw that there was still a lot of snow and ice on our parking lot. And they came and they sprayed it and cleared it all. It took them a few hours yesterday with this big rig, brought it over so that we could all arrive at church this morning in a safe parking lot and not have to worry about the ice and snow. So thank you, Johan. Thank you, Sadie. Thank you, Goldie. You guys are amazing. Alrighty, purpose over popularity. That's what I'm speaking on this morning and really continuing on from last week's message on the path of life. And what I was talking about last week is that when we live a life led by the Spirit, when we live a life led by God, he actually brings clarity into our life. He brings clarity into the steps that we need to take. God is not a God of confusion. He's not a God of chaos. He's actually a God of excellence and a God of order, which means God leads us into a better future. Yes, there's situations in life. Things can happen, ups and downs, but God leads us with clarity and with his peace into a better and brighter future. And so we're going to continue on with that today, talking a bit about this mountain of peer pressure and popularity and how we can live a purposeful life despite the influences and the voices around us. But let me just pray, and then we're going to jump into it. Dear Father, we just pray this morning that as we stand here, that we can breathe, that we can tune in to your gentle whispers, that you are not loud and obnoxious, but that God, that you whisper deep into our innermost being and you stir up a restlessness in our heart. And we pray that we would be obedient to that this morning, that we would listen, that we would hear, that we would give you access to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians 1 verse 6. being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Say, be confident. Be confident. We can build our confidence on our bank account. We can build our confidence on our skills and on our abilities. We can build our confidence on our relationships and the people around us. There's so many different things that we can build our confidence on. But the word is very clear. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on. And so we're coming from 2024 into 2025, and maybe the last year ended with some ups and downs, and you're saying, Lord, please, can the end of 2025 be better than the end of 2024? And you're coming into this year, and just remember this promise and write it on the wall. Be confident in this, that the one, Jesus Christ, who has started a work in you will bring it to completion. Because he's not going to bail on you. He's walking alongside you. His plans for your life, he's more in love with those plans for you than you are of those plans. So we have a picture of the future. We've got dreams. We think that there's things that are going to fulfill us and bring excitement. And we get excited about our own lives. But God is way more passionate about your future and committed to your future than even you are. Because he is the creator and the designer of life. Amen? So be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion. So back in 1941 in Russia, there was a group of botanists, a group of scientists. You might have heard the story. They are called the Botanist Martyrs. This group of scientists. I actually tried to find some pictures of them. Couldn't. So once again, in your imagination, imagine 1941, a group of Russian scientists. And they had started to build up a food bank. Over many years, they had collected over 200,000 different seeds, grains, fruits, vegetables, all the things. And they had built up this huge food reserve, this huge food bank that was used to try and use and build up this reserve so that if there was ever tragedy or war or something, that there would be this stock for future generations so that people could continue to flourish. And in the 1940s, we know there was a war, and the Germans started to come through into Russia, this region called Leningrad, modern-day St. Petersburg, and there was a siege. There was a siege, and it went on for 872 days. This town was surrounded, and the Germans cut off all food supply into the region. And a lot of people evacuated, and a lot of the national treasures were taken out. But this group of scientists, this group of botanists, they locked themselves into this vault with around 250,000 different food types and fruit and veg and greenhouses and everything. They had all of this there, and they locked themselves in to make sure it didn't get destroyed in the war, to make sure it didn't get stolen, to make sure it wasn't eaten. Now you can imagine a siege for 872 days, meaning no food was coming into this region. The pressure on these men to, one, themselves eat all of that food, and two, to feed the surrounding community must have been immense. And those nine botanists, they died in that vault protecting this stock of food because they had a vision in their mind. There was a purpose that they were living for that was bigger than themselves. And so they said no to something short-term that would gratify their stomachs, that would feed their popularity, because they knew that future generations depended on this. They knew there was something bigger. They had the end goal in mind, and that affected their daily decisions. They knew the reward. And so they went through starvation. They starved to death when there was an abundance of food around them, but they made a way for future generations to benefit because of the sacrifice and the obedience of their life. So let me say this statement. Living for the approval of people keeps you from the purposes of God. Living for the approval of people keeps you from the purposes of God. So once again, in our imaginations, let's just think of the scenario that everyone in your world thinks of you as the greatest person. They love you. They like you. Everything you say, they approve of. You never have a disagreement. You always get likes on your social media posts. You every day you go onto social media, you get more Facebook ads. You get more people adding you as friends. Think of this perfect scenario where you live in a life of perfect approval from others. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're not going to be able to live that life. But so often we go about life trying to fit this mold of the approval of those around us. There's a picture of my son Everett, and he loves food. He's like me. And he doesn't really know how to use a straw. He just copies his brother. If his brother says, I want mac and cheese, Eb says, I want mac and cheese. If his brother is drinking his little milk and says, I want a straw, then Eb says, I want a straw. But he doesn't know what the use of the straw is. And so if we don't know what the use of something is, what its purpose is, we misuse it. Eb doesn't know what the purpose of the straw is, and so he's misusing it. He's trying to slurp up a mac and cheese with his straw. And that can so easily be life. If we don't know the purpose of life, then we misuse the life that we've been given. We misuse the gifts that we've been given. We misuse the time. We misuse the resources that God has placed in our hands. We misuse the words. We misuse our tongue. We use it to break people down and to build ourselves up. Meanwhile, the word says, those who refresh others, they themselves will be refreshed. The word says that I have given you as spiritual gifts so that you may use to build up the church and so that others may live. In Peter talks about that. We're going to jump into that later. If we don't know what the purpose of something is, we can misuse it. And this is the problem, is you don't ask the creation to come up with its purpose. Because if you ask me, Matt, come up with your purpose, I'm going to come up with a purpose of life that's going to be, it's going to consist of the things that make me feel good. It's going to consist of the things that get affirmation from others. I'm going to look at, okay, people like these shoes. I'm going to make sure I wear these shoes. People who have a certain hairstyle or no hairstyle. And if whatever's getting affirmation from others, that's going to start to dictate the purpose of my life. But we don't look to the creation to determine purpose. We look to the Creator. We look to the Creator to determine purpose. And so let's look at a hero from the Word. His name is Moses. And he is a person who chose calling over comfort, and he chose calling over popularity. He chose purpose over popularity. If we look at Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 26, it says this. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I love that it starts with by faith. So straight away, there's trust here because he has his future. He has a life, but he's actually choosing by faith to make decisions that are pleasing to God and that are not necessarily the easy decisions or the natural decisions. So faith is to say, hey, I'm not 100% sure what the outcome is going to be if I go in this direction, but I've got confidence in God. Back to that scripture in Philippians. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So Moses was he grew up in Pharaoh's household. He was Hebrew. He was Jewish, but he grew up in Pharaoh's household in Egypt, and he got to enjoy all of the pleasures of living in Pharaoh's household. But they reached a point where there was a restlessness in Moses, where he could have chosen that lifestyle of pleasure, of sin, of comforts, of ease. He could have enjoyed all of the pleasures of the lifestyle that was in front of him, but he knew in his heart that there was a restlessness, that God was steering him in a different direction. So he said no to something that looked good by faith to take steps towards what he felt God was leading him to. He chose to be mistreated, so he allowed himself to go through discomfort with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Same as those scientists, they made decisions based on the end goal. What is the end goal? When you look at your life and you think about purpose and you think, well, what is the end goal? Well, then I should be making decisions today that will take me to the end, to the goal that I have in mind, that moment when we are standing before Jesus and he is looking at us and he's looking at our life, and I want his words to be, well done, my good and faithful servant, with you I am well pleased. I remember when Sav and I felt the Lord leading us to move to the States, and I met with one of our biggest sponsors. We felt the Lord leading us from Zambia to come and start a church here in Northwest Arkansas. We had this nudging in our spirit, this excitement. It's obviously going to cost money. We've got to move a family across the world. Visas are not cheap, by the way. And it's a long process, about 120 pages of documents, twice. Just throwing that out there. But God had given us this vision, and I went to meet with one of our largest sponsors, very successful businessman. And I explained to him, hey, this is the plan. We're moving. This is the church we're going to start. It's going to be life-giving in the community in Northwest Arkansas. It's going to help people to find excitement in their relationship with God. It's going to build a community of people that's going to impact the region, and that's going to be missional across the globe. We're not just called to be a church on the corner. We're called to be a light on the hill. Amen? Jesus started with 12, and we are worshiping God today because those 12 lived purposefully. So I've always had an excitement in my spirit for something starting small, but starting obediently, because it's God's word. And the sponsor looked at me and he laughed and he said, hey, I think for you, moving to Bentonville is actually a step backwards from living in the bush in Zambia. Those were his words. Maybe he will watch this video. I don't know. I'm not mentioning any names. The opinions of people, yes, they carry weight and they can be personal, but where are we finding our confidence? Are we going to the creation for our affirmation and for our direction, or are we going to the Creator? We had a softness in our spirit and a leading from the Lord. And so despite where we thought resources were going to come from, we still continued to press on to the Lord by faith, and God provided in the ways that he had, because this is his work. So this word purpose, let me demystify this word a little bit for us, because we talk purpose a lot and many of us picture this golden goose. Is that a saying in America? Let's go with it. We picture that there's this golden goose. There is this thing that we're going to stumble upon, and it's going to be perfection. It's going to be the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. So say to your neighbor, demystify purpose. That's a tough one. So we often think of purpose, just think of purpose as a big P purpose. The capital P, the big one thing. But let's think of it as small P purpose. Of those little moments where in interactions, we're asking God in this moment, what are you asking me to do? What is the purpose that you're calling me to fulfill in this conversation? Is it encouragement? What Johan and Sadie, they arrived yesterday and there's one or two of us with these useless $2 snow shovels that we got because all of the others were gone. There was an opportunity. That's why I'm really so stiff and sore this morning. What was their purpose in that moment? They saw an opportunity, and it's and if we are pursuing this perfection, we're going to miss out on those little moments where God is calling us to respond. Where he's calling us to be the light on a hill. He's calling us to be an encouragement into a moment. He's calling us to bring life into a situation. Jesus saw a moment. His disciples had dirty feet. None of them took up the task of cleaning each other's feet in that Last Supper. Jesus saw the moment to wash his disciples' feet. These are important moments. What are the little moments of your day and of your week that we're missing out on because we're waiting for the stars to align? Because the reality is, as we take more and more of these small P moments of speaking encouragement, of helping to clean the parking lot, of cooking a meal for someone, and thank you so much. Amy, I gave birth to a beautiful a little girl, Kelly, this last week. Was it on Monday? No, last weekend. And many people have cooked meals for them. And those are moments. Those are small P moments where we can respond. What is it that God is calling you? What is the purpose in small situations? Is it to listen? Is it to hold back on giving solutions and advice and pushing opinions? Is it to listen to a person who just wants to talk and process trauma, difficult things that they've gone through? Just being a willing ear? Is it to take a stand for a value or family? Is it to take a stand for against compromise in the workplace? Maybe you can see mismanagement or misuse of funds or the way people are being treated, and it's actually to take a stand in the way that you're seeing people are treated and to speak value into someone when others are not seeing value. There's so many of these little moments. And what happens is, as we consistently take up those moments, we start to take a few more. God sees that he can trust us in those little moments, and those that life of small, I'm saying small P a lot, but you're following me. Those small P moments, suddenly it turns into, hey, actually the direction of my life is actually becoming more and more Christ-centered, more and more purposeful. And I'm actually finding a lot of fulfillment in this. And maybe your circumstances haven't changed. Maybe you still have the same grumpy boss, but your reaction in situations is completely different. So I want to just talk through three short steps. As we're approaching this year and we're trying to identify stronger sense of purpose, because stronger sense of purpose provides clarity and provides focus, and it helps us to say yes to the right things and no to the right things. What are these three steps that can help us along this line? First one is this. Hear his voice. Hear his voice. In a time with an abundance of opinions and information, we're becoming very good at looking to other sources for direction instead of to God. And when Jesus left his disciples, he taught them a way, but he built a relationship with them. And so yes, church, community, worship, it's about teaching, empowering, learning the word together, but more importantly than you listening to me is you building a relationship with God. It is actually you being fed daily through your relationship with God. Job 33 verse 14, for God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize this. So God is speaking. How does he speak? I'm glad you asked. Scripture talks about two different ways that God speaks. He speaks through his logos word, which is his written word. If your Bible is closed, you're going to struggle to hear from God. Let me just say that again. If your Bible is closed, and you can have the best study Bible with all the things on the side, if it's closed, Jesus' words, he has compassion because his people are harassed, they are lost like sheep without a shepherd. If your Bible is closed, you're going to struggle to hear from God. When we start spending more time in the Word, and I know this might be hard, and maybe you're sitting here thinking, I really want to, but how do I even start? Or this is just boring, or I'm not getting anything from this. I would recommend you start in the Gospels, start in Matthew, or start in John, and start. And read one or two or three chapters, and you know what? You might not get anything from it. You might be, great, these guys are fishing. One of the fishermen decides he's going to jump out of the boat, and then what, now there's someone walking on water. And it's like, hey, you might not get anything out of it on day one. But hey, day two, you continue to read. Spend a few minutes in the Word. Don't put so much pressure on yourself that as you spend time in the Word, you have to have this revelation from God that he changes the way you see life. We're building a relationship. We're building a relationship. Logos word. As we spend time with God, as the Bible is open more in our life, the word is God breathed. He starts to steer us, reshape the way that we think, and soon we start to notice things in the word that we didn't notice before. And God actually speaks into situations in our life and he steers us. If the Bible is closed, you're going to struggle to hear from God. You're going to live a life looking for affirmation from others. Second one is this, rhema word, the spoken word. The Apostle Paul often talks about being led by the Spirit. So God speaks through his word. He also speaks through his leading, through his Spirit, through guidance. And that comes through prayer. It comes through worship. It comes through fasting. Maybe you are starting the year and you're saying, man, I need clarity and I'm feeling a little bit lost right now. At the end of January, 24th, 25th, 26th of January, we're going to do a 3-day fast. And Sunday the 26th, we're going to share vision that God has placed on our heart as a church. So not just Hope Family Church here in Northwest Arkansas, but also Hope Family in Zambia, in South Africa, in Namibia. We're going to share a bit of vision of what God's been speaking to us about. But it's also an opportunity over those 3 days for you to fast. Maybe you're going to fast food. Maybe you're going to fast social media. Maybe you're going to go to bed earlier to wake up earlier to just spend 3 days trying to build that routine of spending time in the Word. 24th, 25th, 26th, I'd encourage you to start thinking about that and take that as an opportunity to fast and to draw nearer to the Lord, because he does speak and he does give us clarity. Sometimes we need to silence out these other voices so we can hear God's direction. So that's coming up. I'm putting that on the radar for you to think about. God's rhema word, his spoken word. Proverbs 29, verse 21, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Okay, second point is this, seek his strategy. Seek his strategy. Last week, I spoke about the path of life. We live day to day, seeing day to day. God sits above time. He sees our story. He sees the potential he wants to lead you into. And when we live by faith and not by sight, when God's word is a lamp unto our feet, he leads us into the future he has for us. And so God has strategy. He has plans for your life. 2 points about God's strategy. His ways are above our ways. But 2 things that God values, his church and his people. When Jesus was on this earth, if you want to know about vision for Jesus' life, he's having this conversation with Peter in the book of Matthew 16. And he says, and I tell you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So Jesus is saying with confidence and with vision and with focus, I am building my church, and no amount of resistance will defeat it. See, Jesus had vision and direction, and he came to build his church. Not a building, but a community of people whose lives are transformed, whose value systems are changed, who've been reconciled to God because of our relationship with Jesus. He came to build his church. And so if his church is valuable to him, it should be valuable to us. At our wedding, that's what Paul, my pastor in South Africa, he said, "Hey, Matt, find out what's valuable to Sav and make it valuable to me." A marriage advice. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And I've given my life to playing a role in building a beautiful church because I believe in the church. Now, I understand different people have had different experiences, and not every church is beautiful. Not every church is carrying the values that Jesus would like it to carry. There are amazing churches in this region, and my prayer is that we may be one of them, that we may be life-giving. But Jesus, despite the church's flaws, is committed to his bride, which is the church. And so his words to us, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And so my encouragement to you is, if Hope Family is your church, plant yourself, root yourself in the life of the church. Through the gifts that God has given you, through your encouragement, through your time, through your resources, help to build the church. Be planted. If this is not your church, that's okay. Find another church that excites you and where you are growing and plant yourself there. But don't hop and don't just stay at home and watch online, because there's something beautiful about coming together with a family of believers, worshiping corporately, worshiping together. It's a way God has designed us. The early church in the book of Acts, they met in small groups and they met on the temple steps to come and worship together in large gatherings. Proverbs 11, verse 25. So, Jesus loves his church. He loves people. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Sometimes we can overcomplicate strategy, purpose. We can wait for this beautiful map to be drawn out. Plug yourself into a life-giving church. Make sure that you are a part of a community that's growing and encouraging you. Refresh others. Those who refresh others, they themselves will be refreshed. When we take those little opportunities day in and day out, it's amazing how we start to find more and more purpose in our life. When we're in Zambia, in Western Zambia, and it's an extremely malnourished region and impoverished. And we're doing church planting in the villages and installing water wells and translating the Bible, all these different things. And then a lady comes to the gate one day with twins, little premature babies that were born. She's carrying them on her back in a chitengi, which is like a traditional cloth. And she's pleading for some help, for some formula milk. And that might have just looked like a distraction because of all of the work we're doing in these villages. You have never heard about Jesus, but there was a moment. And so we helped her with a few tins of formula milk. We had enough to get her through a week. Said, "Hey, come back in a week's time." In a week's time, she came back and we gave her another week's supply of formula milk. And this happened for 2-3 weeks. And then others started coming. And then we started to research it and we came to realize that around 60% of children were dying before the age of 5 in the region. Contaminated water, mothers passing away during childbirth, and there was a crisis right in front of us and God was asking us to do something about it. But we stumbled into it because one person needed formula milk. So fast track, 15 years, there's now a pediatric clinic, antenatal services, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, a whole department running micro businesses to help families. It's a flourishing entity. It's doing incredibly well, saved over 1,000 children. It started with a moment, one person who needed formula milk. What is that one? What are those little moments in our day? Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. My last point is this: start today. Don't say one day, say day one. Don't say one day, say day one. Zechariah 4 verse 10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Let's just say that word together so that I can see that other people also struggle with it. Zerubbabel's hand. Anyone here with that name? Cool. We'll call you Z. We'll call you Z. Good. What's a plumb line? Plumb line is what was used in building projects to ensure that things aligned. The word of God is a plumb line for our lives. When we start to make intentional decisions to say, okay, Lord, I know there's a lot of pressures in my life and there's a lot of people and there's a lot of voices, but I'm actually choosing, God, that I want you to be the cornerstone of my life. I want you to be the one that sets the direction. And I'm going to start today, whatever that looks like, reading one chapter in the Word a day. There's this great quote, sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character, you reap a destiny. Starts with a thought. As I'm speaking now, I know the Lord is prompting each of us with soft and subtle thoughts. What is that one step? Don't say one day, say today. Starts with a thought. And we're going to just have a short worship song, and use that as an opportunity where you are just to press into the Lord and give God access. Prayer is not about telling God what to do. It's about giving him access to the things that we are processing, the thoughts that we have, the life that we're living. And we start to give God access. It's amazing how he steers us. He steers our thoughts. He steers our heart into little moments that start from thoughts that turn into actions, actions that turn into habits, habits that turn into character, character that turns into destiny. Let's stand to our feet. And I'm just going to pray. And then after that, we're just going to have one song of worship in response. And wherever you are, you engage with the Lord. You pray, you speak to him, you have a conversation with God. Dear Father, we just love you so much. And we know, God, that you are not distant, but that you are so close. That you stand at the door and that you knock. You want to lead us, Lord, into the path of life. And we just pray for every person here that we would receive your gentle nudging. God, that your voice would be clear. Lord, that you would lead us through your peace. That you would plant vision in our minds. Vision that leads us into a bright and impactful future. Vision of excitement. Starts with a thought. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us and guide us with a thought in this moment.